Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's been a couple of weeks, but we are back again. This is Josh.
Yes, this is Scott. Now, why did we miss last week? I don't remember.
I think it just got away from us, honestly. Okay,
maybe. Were you sick?
Not that day.
Okay.
Yeah, well, later in the week I was.
Sorry, folks, but here we are.
Things
today.
Get crazy sometimes.
Yes.
This is the week before Easter week, Holy Week.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Talk about things getting crazy and sneaking up on you.
The first full week of spring.
That's right.
And then we have Good Friday and Easter coming after this week.
Yeah, so you know, mark your calendars. Good Friday, we got a wonderful Good Friday service with communion, just like we always do. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And Easter services, the service times are the same, but there's only childcare from infant to pre-K.
That's right.
There's not Sunday school classes during those. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about it. We shouldn't assume, should we?
Yeah.
That everyone knows what Good Friday and Easter are about. Everyone has heard of at least Easter. Not many. Some people haven't even heard there is a thing called Good Friday and why it's called Good Friday. Mm-hmm. But even Easter. All right, so what are we talking about on Good Friday and Easter, Josh?
Yeah, well, Good Friday was the day that Jesus was crucified. Mm-hmm. The day that he died on the cross for our sins. So we call it Good Friday. It doesn't sound good because we're talking about him dying on the cross. It's good for us because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and our salvation wouldn't be possible without his death and burial.
Yeah.
And so he was crucified. He bore our sins on the cross. He suffered under the wrath of God at the hands of the Roman soldiers. He had been brought there by Jewish leaders and accused of blasphemy and all of those kinds of things, and cheered on by a crowd that had just been shouting Hosanna and blessing him the week before, turned on him. Mm-hmm. And so we call it good because he paid for our sins on that day.
All right. So when we gather on Good Friday evening, 6 o'clock, we're going to sing a lot of songs about the cross. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear a message about the cross. Mm-hmm. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together, which is the bread and cup, which is emblematic of the body and blood of Jesus. So again, the cross. Mm-hmm. So we're going to focus on the cross. There's no way to do that for a whole service without mentioning the resurrection. But the point is to focus on the cross on that night, and then we prepare ourselves for Sunday morning, where we talk about the resurrection, which is Easter.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's probably the tone. I would say the tone changes between those two nights. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't acknowledge the resurrection on Good Friday, but the focus is on the cross, and so the tone, I think, feels a little more sober, a little more somber, because we're thinking about our sin and that made Jesus' death necessary. So there's some seriousness about it, and then Sunday, Easter Sunday, definitely takes a more celebratory tone as well.
Yeah. And on that day we'll sing songs about the resurrection and preach a sermon about the resurrection. And you know, even physically, we are creatures, you know, that we clothe ourselves, and the Lord has made darkness and light and night and day. And so even on Easter Sunday, we kind of dress differently.
Yeah.
I do anyway.
You know, my wife, Laura, she grew up in like a liturgical setting, and everything is stripped bare on Good Friday.
Okay.
And then on Easter morning, all the stuff from what people wear to what the room is decorated. Do we take the banners down on Good Friday?
We change the banners between Good Friday and Easter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the banners are up on Good Friday for the previous season.
That's right.
For they get changed.
That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we do a little bit of that too.
So there's a physicality, a sight to it, but the main thing is we are participating in the annual remembrance of the cross and celebration of the resurrection, Good Friday and Easter. And then we always have to say, because we do this more than annually, every Lord's Day, Sunday, is Resurrection Day, and we are taking up our cross daily. So we do Good Friday and Easter just to, as a reminder and a worship opportunity and a testimony to our city, to our friends and neighbors that we might bring because they're used to hearing about these things and might join us in church. So I would encourage people to invite people, their friends and neighbors and family members to come to church. They might be more inclined to come on those days. And so that's why we do that. That's why we do celebrate Good Friday and Easter. It is a reminder. It is a good testimony and witness, and it does build our worship. But really, every day is a day of remembrance of the cross, walking by faith in the cross and in the resurrection. Every day is a gospel day, and every Sunday is a resurrection day.
That's right. All right. I think it's a good opportunity, like, to invite people. Like, you mentioned this a little bit, but like, I think even people that have no real Christian understanding or upbringing have some sense that Easter is, maybe they think of it as an American holiday kind of thing. Like, I have some neighbors that are Vietnamese, and I think they're Buddhist. I don't think they're Christians at all.
Yeah.
But they have an Easter thing.
Yeah.
Like, they do an Easter egg hunt and all that kind of stuff. And I wonder if, like, there are people like that that would just be interested to come to church or something just because they've heard of Easter before and they know that it's a thing. You never know.
Well, you mentioned people from other cultures. I remember my wife and I bringing a young man to our church who grew up here in America and had frequented churches, but was still unclear about why we did Easter. And it was a great opportunity to tell him that as we were going to church. This is what we do on Easter.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
So. Yeah. That's great. That's great. Well, we're looking forward to that, and hope you'll come if you're listening. This past Sunday was a great great weekend, great Sunday to be together and worship together, and working in Acts chapter 11 again.
Yeah, finished up the last part of Acts 11. The gospel spreading as we're seeing through Acts landed in a city called Antioch, a very important city in the Roman world, and a very important city to the mission of the church, as we'll see in Acts. But the gospel, when the people went to Antioch and they started speaking the gospel, they were speaking it not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles. And so now you have this beautiful picture of many believers. It says many people believing. All right, first it says they went and preached the Lord Jesus. That's the phrase. They preached the Lord Jesus. And then it says many believed and turned to the Lord. So that many is many Jews and Gentiles in the same church. And so we see a beautiful picture of God's hand, it says, this is by the hand of the Lord, creating something new. New converts, a new church, a new way to live, a new name. They were called Christians for the first time. A new love. You see now Gentiles trying to, Jews and Gentiles taking money up to send relief funds to their brothers and sisters back in Judea who are going to be a part of a famine. It's very powerful. And then we're going to see in 13, after Easter, we'll come back and pick up in Acts 13. You're preaching that Sunday. And this church in Antioch becomes a church from which a missionary journey with Saul and Barnabas gets launched. And now the gospel's going, you know, eventually he's going to get to Rome.
That's pretty awesome. In that, you said they went in preaching the Lord Jesus. And then the thing that I wanted us to discuss a little bit today is, you talked about the idea that they need to believe some specific things in order to be saved. So the implication is that some degree of right belief is required in order to be saved. So let's just talk about that. What does that mean?
Okay. Well, first, I guess maybe I'll say why I said it. I think maybe some people are afraid. Some Christians might be afraid to say that there are certain things you must believe in order to be saved. They would say, no, hold up, you just need to believe in Jesus. And if you start adding things to believing in Jesus, other things you have to believe, then aren't you adding to the gospel? And I would say no, because as I explained on Sunday, the things that we must believe that we're talking about here from the book of Acts and the New Testament are the things of Jesus, the things about Jesus, things that Jesus affirmed himself, things that he said he was going to do, things that he said that he did after he rose from the dead. And so without adding to the gospel, we are saying, though, that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore they believed in the things about the Lord Jesus Christ that were necessary to believe in order to be saved. Hmm. And I was just trying to press that so we don't think, oh, well, you can believe in Jesus, you know, generically, like yeah, good guy, and I'll try to do what he wants me to do, and,
yeah,
you know, wear some stuff, bracelets or T-shirts or whatever that identify me with trying to identify with him, and that's enough.
Sure.
No, the Jesus is very clear that he predicted in the book of Mark, and really in the Gospels, others, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he predicted his death. But in the book of Mark, there's a great section where Jesus predicted at least three times to his disciples, he was trying to get them to understand that he must mm-hmm. be delivered over, he must be persecuted, he must be condemned to die, he must die on the cross,
right,
and on the third day he must rise again. See, and then yeah. in the book of John, he keeps saying, you know, believe in me and believe that my Father sent me. So he's making a statement there about who he is.
Yeah.
If you believe in me, you'll have eternal life. You see, so it's not just believe generically in me, but believe in me that I am the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So all these things Jesus said about him that are necessary for us to believe about Jesus in order to be saved, and that again, over against what? Over against just saying he's a historical figure and we should try to emulate him in some way, and that makes us a Christian.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be interesting to think about from the standpoint of somebody who is, you know, if they're preaching Jesus and we're called to go and share our faith with other people, mm-hmm. This would be an important thing for us to make sure that when we do share with people, the gospel message is simple.
Yeah.
But there are things that it's must be explained.
It's a content. There's yeah, content. There's real right. content to it.
Yeah. So if we boiled it down, mm-hmm. we've got a few things, right? He's the Son of God. Mm-hmm. He died on the cross for sins. Mm-hmm. He was raised again. Mm-hmm. His death was for our sins mm-hmm. and takes our punishment. What else would yeah. someone, you know, what else do you think would fit this list?
Yeah. Okay. So if you follow the storyline mm-hmm. in its most basic form, he is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So he's not a human only. Mm-hmm. He is God. Right. Then he became a man.
Right.
So he's not a phantom. He's mm-hmm. he's not, you know, he didn't just come here in a spiritual form. He actually became a man. So he's really God, and he's a real man.
Yep.
I think that would be necessary to understand and believe, because how else could he be our Savior? Mm-hmm. And then he did the things that he did. Everything that the Bible says he did, he did. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that's God. It says that is God affirming and authenticating with signs and wonders the life of Jesus. And then he died on the cross for our sins in our place. So therefore, he is the substitute for us on the cross. And he bore the penalty of our sins. Now, this is very important, I think. And I want to stress this. There are some people who think that what it means to be a Christian is to try to do what they perceive Jesus would do in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And that is not what it means to be a Christian.
Yep.
Now, doing what Jesus wants us to do in situations would be a good part of our discipleship.
Right.
So we should want to do what Jesus would do in every situation. But that is not what makes us a Christian.
Right.
Because you can do what someone wants you to do. You can do what Jesus wants you to do, or what you think he wants you to do, and have what you think Jesus' perspective is about a certain issue in society, without ever repenting of your sin and trusting in his atoning work on the cross to save you. So repentance and faith in the work of Jesus on the cross is necessary to be saved. And you'll never repent or believe until you actually believe that the cross is where God did a work through Jesus to save us.
Right.
And that work is he atoned for our sins. So that's another. So let's keep going with the story. Mm-hmm. He rose from the dead. And it is popular in some circles to say you can be a Christian, bear the name, without believing in a literal resurrection of Jesus' body from the grave. I don't believe that's possible. because it is Jesus himself who said, I will be raised on the third day.
Yeah.
It would be like saying, well, I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, he's my Savior, but I just don't think he was telling me the truth. So it's just, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The resurrection is a part of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. So to believe in Jesus is to believe in his resurrection.
That's right. If he wasn't raised, it's kind of like C.S. Lewis, right? Did the Lord Liar Lunatic.
Lunatic thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he didn't raise from the dead, then he would either be a liar, he knew that he wouldn't, mm-hmm. or he's a crazy person who believes that he would, but he was just wrong about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And before C.S. Lewis, it's like Paul said, if he didn't raise from the dead, we're still in our sins.
That's right.
So that's what I'm trying to get at, is we're not trying to add on to the gospel. Mm-hmm. Things that aren't necessary for salvation, mm-hmm. but we certainly don't want to take away from the gospel its essence, which is the right. Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who he is and what he did.
Yep.
That's as simple as I can put it. And that was the point I was trying to make Sunday, and I hope that's clear. And as you said, not only for our faith, but for our presentation of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we need to be very careful, and we're trying to be very careful here at Grace Community Church, that when we present what we call the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're presenting the gospel, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did for our salvation, and then the call to repent and believe.
Yeah.
Not adding on, not taking away.
Yeah. And we could do exactly what you talked about a moment ago. A misconception might be what Christians do is what a Christian is. You know, like if somebody says, how do I become a Christian? You say, well, you just kind of look at your life and you say, how would Jesus do this? And then you do that. And that's what a Christian is. Then we've led someone astray.
That's right.
Because they've not come to a place of repentance and faith. They're just like adopting a lifestyle.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And you can see that. You can hear that message all the time.
Yeah.
You know, in numerous ways, whether it be a political candidate who is talking about what Jesus would or would not do, mm-hmm. and then saying if you call yourself a Christian, you'll do that too.
Yep.
So well, time out. Mm-hmm. Again, you're missing the point. The point is the atoning work on the cross. That's what faith in that is what makes us a Christian.
Yep.
The rest is called discipleship. Mm-hmm. We just have to be careful.
And I think rounding it all the way back out with your sermon would be that they were faithful to preach about Jesus, mm-hmm. but it was the Lord who was doing the work here.
That's right.
So we try to give that faithful message. We try to make sure we say what we need to say and make it clear, mm-hmm. but God's the one who works in hearts and, mm-hmm. and helps with that response and all those kinds of things.
Yeah. And then once again, where does that leave us as a church? Mm-hmm. It leaves us together corporately and individuals in the world preaching, proclaiming, speaking, having conversations, writing about the Lord Jesus. It leaves us faithful to that message. It leaves us praying that God's hand would continue to move. And God's going to save people, but he calls us to pray. And that's a whole other mystery and a whole other podcast. But it leaves us praying. Mm-hmm. It leaves us then discipling the new believers that he brings to us, as happened in Antioch.
Right.
And then it leaves us bearing the fruit of love, of genuine conversion that comes at the hand of the Lord.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. And then this Sunday, Acts 12?
This Sunday, yes. We're going to do the whole chapter, Acts 12, mm-hmm. because the whole chapter fits together around this man named Herod.
Okay.
And we'll see, really, again, the hand of the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to it. We'll see you then.
All right. Thanks.